Are you missing out on LinkedIn's biggest advantage? Discover how our guest today, who a lot of people call the LinkedIn Whisperer, uses social proximity to turn connections into genuine sales conversations, and how you could do the same. Welcome to the Learn It All podcast, the show that helps great leaders stay and get ahead of the game, because we believe that leaders aren't born or made, they're always in the making. I'm Damon Lemby, a two-time best-selling author and CEO of Learn It, a live learning platform that has helped upskill over 2 million people over the past 3 decades. I'm pumped up to be joined by Bryn Tillman. She's one of my favorites. She's the CEO of Social Sales Link and co-founder of The Modern Banker. She and her team help professionals start trust-based conversations without being overly salesy, and she does this through using the power of LinkedIn and AI. I know this firsthand because Bryn's worked with Learn It team. We've partnered with her for, I'd say, probably 6 months, and the transformation she's made in helping us become better at using and leveraging LinkedIn is incredible. What you're going to learn is why social proximity is LinkedIn's hidden superpower for sales, how to master the ask-offer ratio and earn meaningful conversations. Bryn's proven strategy for slowing down your outreach to speed up the results is awesome. And if you're a sales leader out there, you're going to want to take notes in this conversation. And I highly recommend you follow Bryn and hire her. So let's jump into this great conversation.
I'm thrilled to be here, Damon. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm so excited to have Bryn here because Bryn is a LinkedIn and a ChatGPT AI expert who's done a ton of work with Learn It, and it's been fantastic. So, Bryn, to kick it off, can you tell us a little bit about your business?
Absolutely. You know, although lots of people think I teach social media for a living, I'm really a sales trainer. I'm also tongue-tied, but I'm really a sales trainer that teaches LinkedIn, not a social media expert that teaches salespeople. And that's really kind of the heart of what we do. Our tagline is, we help folks start trust-based conversations without being salesy. And that's really the key, right? Are we leveraging our relationships on LinkedIn, our connections on LinkedIn, pathways and our social proximity to getting to buyers and influencers through our existing network? So it's really leveraging who we are as professionals, our network, all coming together to start those trust-based conversations.
And how is social selling, but in particular LinkedIn, changed over the years?
Oh, interesting. Well, I mean, social selling used to be modern selling, and now it's just a part of modern selling, right? With the AI innovation coming into play. But here's the thing. When I started in sales, my biggest opportunities came from referrals from my happy clients and other referral partners, but they were few and far between. Because if I went to a client and I said, I'm so glad we've been able to help you do X, Y, and Z. Who do you know that could use my products and services the way you have? You know, you get a little shrug and they're like, you know, I don't know. But if someone should ask, I'd be happy to refer you. So where LinkedIn has made the major shift in the marketplace is we can now search and filter our connections. And instead of saying, hey, Mr. Client, who do you know? I can say, hey, Mr. Client, I noticed you're connected to quite a few people I'm looking to get in front of. Can I run these names by you? And that's where I believe LinkedIn is by far the most valuable tool to relationship sellers, because there is no other place where someone hands you their Rolodex or hands you their address book, right? Says, look through this, and we bring that list. And when we do it the right way, not that I'm going to ask for dozens of introductions, but there could be one or two, and the rest could be with permission to name drop, you can reach out to them.
And I've heard you say a couple of times with my team, well, going back to your term, social proximity, right? And the magic is your connections,
right?
As you mentioned. Now, can you talk a little bit more about what's the right way to do it then?
Well, we have to earn the right to get the conversation. So the wrong way is the connect and pitch.
I'm so tired of that.
Yeah. But it happens all the time. We're victims of it all the time. But so we want to make sure we're not the victimizers, right? So so that's the wrong way. The other wrong way is to quickly jump into wanting a conversation too quickly. You know, it's asking to marry someone before you've even had the first date, right? Like, let's get on a phone call. No, you've got to earn the right, especially if you're selling to the executive level. The executives don't have time. In fact, I had a conversation a few years back with a CEO talking about what calls do you take? Like, I was doing the research from the other end, right? He's a major buyer. What calls do you take? And he's like, you know, I would actually pay sales reps not to talk to me because my time is worth way more. So I said, well, when do you decide to take a call? And he said, when someone provides enough value that I know that conversation will be worth my time, right? So that's earning the right. I don't know if you've read the book Gap Selling by Keenan, but he has this fabulous phrase that I've totally stolen, which is you have to master the ask-offer ratio. So what is the ask-offer ratio? I am asking you to consume my content, read my stuff, take my call in exchange for my time. Well, for a lot of folks, the time is worth way more than anything else, and it's the one resource we can't get back. So if we're going to do that, we have to make sure that what we're doing, every message, every interaction is of value to that consumer, to that person that is engaging, that's reading your content. And when you can take 30 minutes of their time in exchange for an offer and they go, wow, that was worth 10 minutes, right?
Right.
Oh, that was a great insight. So that's the mastering the ask offer ratio, right? Like, so if you're off in that ratio, right, it's misbalanced that your offer isn't nearly worth the ask, then it's a bait and switch. They're like, you wasted my time. The other is neutral. While that doesn't ruin your reputation, it doesn't get you a conversation. So we've got to master that offer. We have to make sure that they leave that conversation, they leave that consuming of content with the feeling like, man, I got a lot for my time. And when we do that, we now have earned the right for them to say, but I can get this from reading their profile, from their message, from the blog post they sent me, from the ebook that I read, from the podcast I listened to, then I'm happy to take the call because I know it's going to be worth my time.
And that's so great. And that's a good point right there, because you're not referring just to the messages that you send to people, right? What you're referring to is it starts with the profile and the actual content that you're, as a LinkedIn user, that you're posting and sharing on a regular basis. So what advice do you have for our audience as far as how they go about the types of posts and the content that they're sharing on a regular basis? Because I'm so tired of also seeing people who just are just talking about themselves all the time, right? You know, like highlighting themselves where they need to add value. So how do you go about adding value?
Well, the first thing we have to do is social listen a little bit, right? We have to go out and see what are they engaging on? What are they sharing? What matters to them? I love doing a couple of polls to find out what priorities are. So then it's a little bit of content and a little bit of learning at the same time. But once we've identified, like, what are the pain points? And I know that sounds like an old, like, you know, but we still buy to fix a problem, right? Mostly that's why we buy, to fix a problem. So what is that problem? Now, here's the key. And this is something I learned from David Newman in a course that I took from him a long time ago, which is you need to really engage your buyer the step before they're looking for your solution. So you have to get in earlier than they know that they need you. So for you, you know, and learn it in what you guys do, where you're improving this communication skills and leadership skills and the skills of the staff that are really going to help them to be more productive, to be more collaborative, all these things. What's happening in their world before that's a problem? when they start thinking about, ooh, so maybe it's like, wow, we've had a little bit of a high turnover this year. What's going on there? Why are people leaving? Like that is the time, right, where you start going into, here are some of the things that really upskilling your employees can help in retention, can help in, you know, in productivity, all of those things. But you don't want to wait until they go, okay, we need training. You want to get them in that step before when they have that challenge. So now we are educating them early on in that buyer journey. We know from, you know, the Challenger sale, I don't think it's probably 99% now, but I think something like, you know, 67% of the way through the buyer's journey before the seller even gets the conversation. Well, someone is influencing that. Someone's content is influencing that. When they Google, somebody's blog is coming up. Is it yours? And are you coming up at that very top of the funnel? So are you coming up when they say, how do I, you know, fix my turnover problem? Oh, if that's what they're looking for, then that's the content we need to start with. So that's the very top of the funnel. But we need content all the way through the sales journey. What is the content that supports after the first conversation? What's the content that supports, you know, that at this point they need to bring in other buyers? Do you have content that can help you help your buyer sell you internally? Do you have content that will help them overcome objections before they even get them? Right. So that the FAQ page, right? Like all of those fun things. Then do you have content that will help you with an ROI calculator if you've got one, or even content after you've sold a deal to expand throughout the organization? So you sold 20 seats, but there are 150 more throughout the organization. What content can you use to help get that that engagement, the enabling them to leverage? So lots of content all the way through at different times in the sales cycle and in the buyer's journey. You just have to make sure that the content isn't designed for you to sell. It's designed to help them buy.
To buy, and also to authentically help educate them and help them with their challenges.
Help them with that solution. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the content, for the LinkedIn algorithms, is it better to come from the personal, from the salespeople versus the company? Or, I mean, I know the obvious answer is probably all across the board company, but what do you think? Is it more from the actual salesperson than the company?
So in a smaller company, I have a pretty strong opinion on this. The larger companies that have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of followers, they're going to get some engagement. A company page is rarely seen by people. Even if they're following it, it doesn't have a strong algorithm push. However, there is a time and a place where content should start with the company page and not the personal page. So one of the things you said is, I really don't like when people start talking about themselves. But Damon, you may win an award. You may get, hey, most innovative training company, you know, and you're like, oh, I want to brag, but I don't want to brag. Well, that's where the company page.
Yeah.
Right. The company page can say, congratulations, Damon. We're so proud of you. Right.
I could write it myself from the company
page. I've done that. Congratulations to our CEO, Bryn Tillman. I'm like, oh, thank you so much. Right.
I'm there with you, Bryn. Yeah.
So humbled by your comments. Right. But it changes the impression, right? When the company is bragging and you're humbled and grateful, you can get those messages out. You can sell a little bit more from a company page, like a new product launch. I would say comes from the company page, and then I reshare it, really excited that our company is doing this. So that's how I kind of look at the company page. One of my favorite, Michaela Alexis once told a story, and I love this story, and I tell everybody else's stories because they're so good. But she said, you know, when I walk into a trade show or a conference, I'm coming in as me, my profile, and I walk around and I have conversations. But then when someone says, hey, what do? I grab their hand and I pull them over to my booth. And the booth is that company page. The one change in that is there is a new section on your personal profile called, it's your services page. And this is designed for you to pitch your product because that is where someone will request your services. So that has changed just a little bit now where you can, there is a whole section designed to talk about how, what you sell. So it's like you're walking around with a couple of flyers, but you're not, it's not your whole conversation. It's just every once in a while when someone's like, no, tell me. I know where to go.
So that's when the company page comes in. From the personal page, you have your sales reps out there posting and posting and everything. I had a call the other day with actually interviewed somebody on the show, and he's the CEO of a 600 person company, and he said, you know, Damon, I love your content on LinkedIn. You post a lot out there. He's like, I don't really do any posting myself. Do you think that it's important? And what I share with him is, I think it is important from a personal brand. So do you have any advice or insights for somebody who's a, whether a small business owner or a leader who's not directly related to sales about what their approach should be?
Well, you know, it's the old saying, we're all in sales in some way or another. If you're a business owner, whether you like it or not, even if you have a sales team, you are sales, right? You are the name and the brand of a small business. Now, if you're a CEO of a Fortune 1000 company, you're selling to the board, right? Like you're, no matter what, we're all in a sales role in some way or another. Even your IT folks are in sales because they want to move everything to the cloud. They've got to sell that to the CFO, right? So all of that seems being said, right? Like we all have a situation in our professional or personal life. If it's a job seeking role, you want to sell into a new employer. So I want everyone to really think about what is it that my audience cares about? Who's my audience? It doesn't have to be who's my prospect. Who's my audience? Who is it that I want to gain respect with? Who is it that I want to be seen as the expert or the thought leader? And build your profile around, you know, the value you can bring for that audience.
No, that's great. And really taking into consideration, because I was listening to one of your podcasts, and you told a story about a financial advisor who is putting out all this content, right? You want to share that story and that mistake he made?
So he, and actually he was getting some great engagement originally. So
he, from the wrong people.
Yeah, he started taking our class. He's like, I'm putting out content, but we didn't get to the like what kind of content yet. But he got really excited and he's sharing all this content and he comes to class the next week. And he's like, I'm getting so much engagement. This is amazing. I'm like, that's great. Let's look at it. And everyone that was engaging was a financial advisor. Is like, oh, well, that's not who I want to talk to. So I said, well, let's look at the content. And the content was really designed to talk about like what was industry trends in the marketplace and, you know, where was it mutual funds versus annuities? And I'm like, your buyers, they don't care about that, but it's great information. Totally. That's why other financial advisors cared about this. So what do they care about? And so we actually did a little poll and it turned out their number one priority at that point was legacy planning. Who has taken over my business or am I selling it or why, you know, in the next 10 years, I'm going to be in my late 60s. What, right? So now he started talking about legacy planning, which really he could help with in a lot of different areas in the financial world. But now those small business owners that really cared about the legacy planning started to engage. So that's where we have to start sharing content that they want to consume, not just content we want them to absorb and know.
And sometimes the content we want them to absorb and know, we're doing that because that's what we like and that's what we're comfortable with, right? And so we got to put ourselves in our prospects or customers' shoes. So that's fantastic. Switching gears a little bit, and this is top of mind for me because you did a phenomenal session with my team yesterday. And again, it goes back to the, and I think the magic of your connections. Can you share with our listeners a little bit about your approach on how to leverage that and how to, especially around referrals?
Yeah. So referrals, we know our hands down is the best business we can get. So let's start with internal referrals. It's something that we don't do a lot of. But if you were in a big company in one department or two departments, LinkedIn allows you to map out all the other potential influencers or buyers inside of an organization. And then you can leverage your champion in the department that you're in to either make some warm introductions or permission to drop their name. Now, I personally, unless they know them extremely well, I want permission to drop their name because I want to keep control of the sales cycle and the conversation. So I'll ask permission to name drop. So I can go to Jane in the new department and say, hey, Jane, we were working with Fred over at HR and they're seeing some great results. And when I was talking with her, your name came up in our conversation and she thought I should loop you in a little bit on what we're doing for them. Now, looping people in an organization could be the best phrase. It's the best phrase we've ever used. We used it by accident once and we had incredible success. And now we loop everyone in because no one, especially in a large corporation, wants to be out of the loop, right? So if I get permission to use that champion's name from that champion, And they let me, yep, go hog wild. And, you know, here are the 15 names I'm going to reach out to. Okay, great. They don't have to do any work. They're thrilled. They don't have to do any more work for you. And, you know, but we're saying, hey, I can say, you know, I want to loop them in. Yes, get that permission, make it completely authentic. And now you can reach out to all those folks. And then, you know, a few months later, maybe there's a change in, you know, someone gets hired or promoted. Now you just quickly reach back out to your champion and say, hey, this is a new person in this role. Can I use your name? Sure. Right? Like it's easy. So that's internally. The next thing is externally. The average company we have, you know, whatever, the 6.8 decision makers, I think that's gotten up. It's in the sevens now. All of those folks have their own network. So once we've, and you've got to get the attaboy first, right? Like, great job. You've done a wonderful, we've seen some great improvement in, and that's where you kind of dive in and say, oh, I'm so glad we've been able to help you do X, Y, and Z. I hope you don't mind, but I know you're connected to quite a few people I'm going to be reaching out to in the next couple of weeks. But before I do, I'm wondering if I could quickly run these names by you and get your thoughts. And it's really that simple. Not, hey, can you introduce me to these 87 people? But you run through and then I get on the call. I'm like, Damon, thanks so much for taking my call. This is what, obviously we've been helping you with X, Y, and Z. This is why I want to reach out to these folks. This is, you know, the reason. Is there anyone on this list that I should not mention your names?
I love how you position that right there, right? Because should not mention your name, because that's assuming that everybody else is that you should mention your name.
Correct. Yeah. And, you know, if I say of these folks, who can I reach out to and mention your name? I'll get five names.
Or you'll get none.
Yeah. But the other way, who shouldn't I? There'll be five folks that get taken out of the list, right? Like, No, don't mention him. Oh, no, that guy, not him. I can't believe I'm still connected to him on LinkedIn. I mean, that happens, right? So I do want to run the names by them. I never want to say that their name came up in conversation when it didn't. We need to be authentic. We need to be honest about it. And sometimes he's like, oh my gosh, that's my old neighbor. He's retired. I don't know why he's still on LinkedIn, right? So if I actually reached out to that old neighbor who was retired and said, hey, Damon said to say, you know, he says hello.
Or if it was my ex-wife, I don't have an ex-wife, but it was, yeah, right. Damon, yeah, right. So you got to be authentic.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I get these all the time. And, you know, I'm like, I will reach out to the person and say, hey, did you send them my way? And if they didn't, I report them, because that's, do not name drop without complete permission. But once you have permission, it's magic.
And you and I have talked about this before. It's also slowing down to go faster.
Right.
It's just right doing the right thing instead of trying to rush through and either come across as a fraud. You know, it's just all about doing the right thing.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, the phrase we often say is slow down your outreach to speed up your outcome. And it really, it's not the same numbers game as cold calling. And in fact, I don't love the numbers game anymore. I'm so bored of the numbers game. I want the quality game. I want less conversations with more qualified people that have a need and an interest, that were attracted to the content that I shared, that sparked, you know, a curiosity where they're like, hey, I'd be curious how this would help. Or I'll get someone that gets, you know, I listened to a podcast, I read a blog post, I have a quick question, and they'll have like, my team, how do I get my team to do this? And I will help. And at the end, I'll say, and this is how I always bridge, because I don't want to bait and switch. I don't want them to say, hey, I came in to get your insights and your help and you tried to sell me. But this is something I think that all salespeople should consider. You know, here's the insights, here are the things you can do short term. You know, after listening to you, this reminded me of a client that we worked with a year ago. Similar situation. Can I tell you that story? And I asked permission to tell a case study. And they'll at that point say yes, right? Because you've just helped them. And at the end of that case study, it's perfectly fine to say, hey, I'm not sure where you are with this, but do you have any interest in exploring if we can help you the same way? And so it's not that we're not asking for the sale, but we're asking permission to ask for the sale, right? Or the opportunity, or even converting that to the next, you know, the next sales call.
Next step in the process.
Yeah. But it's all about respecting that, right? Permission. I like permission to send content. Hey, Damon, I've got this great ebook that's amazing for companies that focus on upskilling. I think it'd be great for you. Let me know if you're interested. I'm happy to send it over to you, right? I don't send it. I ask permission. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's an extra step, but that's the perfect example of slow down your outreach to speed up your outcome, because we'd A/B tested this and we sent the link to 100 people and 19 clicked through. And then we sent permission to send the link to 100 people. 69 people asked for it and 58 actually clicked through. So
that's
the bottom line is slowing it down speeds it up.
And I would say, and it was earlier, one of my questions was like, how are things changed over the years with LinkedIn? I've always been a big fan of using the phone and cold calling and everything. But over the last couple of years, every salesperson that I've spoken to, I tell them how important it is to get involved with using LinkedIn and sharing content and building your social brand. And because what I've seen, like for myself, where people are always trying to sell me things, I get 150 emails, I would say, compared to maybe 5 or 10 LinkedIn messages still. So there's still that advantage, you know? So I think that there's still an opportunity for salespeople and companies to set themselves apart by doing this, but by doing it the right way. Again, going back to, nobody wants an email that says, I want to book a time with you, and then get a follow-up that says, you know, did you see my last message? That's just
a
waste.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that the worst? You know?
I clearly you're not interested. I sent you my calendar link.
Yeah, yeah.
Automation is dangerous. It really is. And it's not a neutral. It will really hurt your reputation.
But with that being said, you know, a lot of the pushback that I get from salespeople is, well, it seems to take too much time, Damon. I don't have time to write posts. I don't have time to do this, do that. Well, my first response to them is, and, you know, I'm a big fan of Jed Blunt's work, just like you, and he talks about time blocking. I'm like, well, you should time block to create content and post content and comment and do all that kind of stuff. Now, that's number one. But number two, and this is something that you also started doing a lot of work on, is ChatGPT and leveraging AI tools. So how can you help somebody or they help themselves learn how to leverage AI tools for their LinkedIn prospecting content, et cetera?
Well, a few things. And yeah, I'm absolutely in love. I mean, I love, as a hobby, I'm now writing prompts. Like, I just think it's brilliant and fun, and it's amazing. The best thing that a salesperson can do with ChatGPT is use it with their own voice. So go on to Zoom or Teams and record yourself. Maybe you have like a Fathom, we use Sybil, right? Where you have a note taker that's in your meeting already recording. I would take that transcript. I would go into ChatGPT, and the first thing I say is, pull out only what Bryn Tillman said. So now, if there might have been three or five people on there, I have only my comments. Great. So now I do that. I take those comments, and I will say, create 3 to 5 meaningful quotes from that. Great. Now I've got quotes. From those quotes, and this is what I'll say, is use this transcript only. Do not research. So only use words that are in this transcript. And so now it's authentic, right? So now, okay, these are great quotes. Now I'll say, you know, create a blog post around this topic using this transcript only. If you do, this is what I'll say, chat. If you do not have enough information, please ask me the questions you need to complete this task. If you do not have enough, so now they're not going to make it up because it's going to ask me, just say, so this is the information we have. What's the challenge you're about? Who's your buyer? Like, it will start to ask you the questions when you tell it to ask you the questions. So you start with your own transcript and then you tell ChatGPT what you want. Here's the project I want. Use this transcript only. And if you do not have enough information to complete this task without researching, please ask me the questions you need. And I'll actually say one at a time. Once I have answered, ask me the next one. And once you have all the information you need, please complete the task. And that little magic will keep it in your own voice.
Which is great. Because it's very clear when you could see somebody who's talking about delve and all these, you know, all these typical words that there's actually a new prompt out there called No More Delve that can help with that.
That's awesome. I actually have, we call them prohibitions. Mm-hmm. And in ChatGPT, you can have custom instructions. And I have, they're not allowed to ever start with in today's ... Right?
Yeah.
Do not use delve. Instead of using the word critical, use vital, because that's in my, I like vital. That's the word I like. So I have like 15 prohibitions. And every once in a while, it sneaks in today's. And I'm like, you're going to have a timeout, ChatGPT. You're not listening to the instructions.
Yeah, my prohibition, I like you say that, is I hope this message finds you well. I tell myself, I'm like, don't ever send me a message like that to a customer like that.
I mean, I used to send that.
Yeah, but that's.
But now every ChatGPT message sends it. And I'm like, because when I look at my old decks there before ChatGPT, I said that all the time. They copied it from me.
Yeah, they did. They did copy it from you. No, this has been great. This has been a great conversation. And there's how we've worked with Bryn is we literally do 1-hour sessions like once a week. And the great part about it is you get her to come in and it's like a working session. And then she actually leaves you with GPTs you could use. And there's so many great takeaways. It's hard to explain like what we're doing right now, but even that trick you showed us on how to, or how to make it more efficient responding to comments, excuse me, that when people post things with those new AI things in there, I mean, there's so many things like that. So you've been awesome.
Thank you. I love working with your team. You have an amazing team that's very motivated and excited. And I'll tell you what I love about your team is they truly believe that what they are doing is making an impact. And I mean, it's in the core of who they are. They know that it's not just selling, it's really solving. And when I work with a team that just truly believes in what they're putting out into the world is just such a pleasure.
No, and it's great because we are helping people with upskilling. But what I really enjoy as well is when we get on our sessions and we kind of do a recap of what we've implemented. And coming from the training world where you could take classes and then you just forget all of it, it's great to do these working sessions where you could actually see things happen. And that's one thing that you've done for us. And so today we've talked about everything from slowing down to going faster, right? Asking for permission, making sure that you have content that will resonate with your buyers, right? I mean, which is super important. So all these different things. Before we finish up, do you have any last pieces of advice for our listeners out there around social selling?
Well, so for years, I had a little post-it note on my screen that said, detach from what the prospect is worth to me and attach to what I'm worth to the prospect. So when you go at this, don't look at it as I want to make a sale. Look at it as I want to solve problems. And the sale will come.
That's awesome. Bryn, where can our audience, well, this is pretty obvious, where can our audience connect with you at?
Well, I am on LinkedIn, but what I'd say is we've got tons of free resources in our library. If you go to socialsaleslink.com/membership, we have a free membership with lots of resources, and I'll make sure that this podcast is linked in there as well.
And your podcast is called Make Social Selling, right?
Making Sales Social.
Making Sales Social. I was actually on it, which is awesome. Thank you. But I listened to a bunch of the episodes and there's just so many great practical takeaways. So please connect with Bryn on LinkedIn and everywhere she just mentioned. And everybody, if you got value out of this episode today, now I'm tongue-tied, do me a favor, take it and text it to your friends who are sales leaders so they can turn around and watch it immediately. And
love
until
it.
Next time, stay curious and keep learning. Everybody have a great day. See ya.
Thank you.